Tonight I want to speak on a subject, a journey of faith, a journey of faith. And of course, as I mentioned this morning, the subject of my message tonight is Abraham. Abraham is referred many times in the Bible as the father of the faithful. Just give you a couple references to start out with tonight. In Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, "Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father." Again, we find God through faith. He's the father of the faithful. Galatians chapter 3, book of the New Testament, verses 8 and 9. "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And again, there's many other scriptures that teach the same truth, that he is the father and our example of what it is to have faith. The incident that we read about in our scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 11 is probably the pinnacle or the high point of Abraham's faith. His son Isaac was a child of promise. God had told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless all the world through you, and your children are going to outnumber the stars in the sky, the grains of sand on the beach. And Abraham got old. He was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 when Isaac was conceived and born. And he was that child of promise. He was the child that promise of God was going to be passed down to, and it was going to be Jacob and so on down the line. And so Isaac was born. And God comes to Abraham one day and he says, I want you to take your son Isaac, and I want you to take him to a place that I'll show you in the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer him there as a burnt offering. And this morning we talked about the next step of faith that God has for us to take. And I gave you some examples this morning of different groups of people and the next step of faith they need to take. When God came to Abraham and said, I want you to offer your son Isaac as a burnt offering, that was his next step of faith. That's what God wanted him to do next. That's what God wanted him to trust him about to do next in his journey of faith. And the Bible says early the next morning, Abraham got up, he took Isaac, he took two servants with him, and he went to the land of Moriah. And you go back and you read in the book of Genesis, it says on the third day, they saw the place where God was directing them afar off. And Abraham told the two servants, he says, you wait here, the boy and I, the lad and I, are going to go and we're going to worship God, and then we'll come back. So he took the wood that he was going to use for the burnt offering and he put it on Isaac's back. And Abraham took the fire in one hand and a knife in the other. And they headed for the mountain. And Isaac said, Dad, I see the wood for the sacrifice and I see the fire, but where's the lamb? What animal are we going to use for the sacrifice? And here's what Abraham told Isaac. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And by the way, it's not part of my message. You go ahead and read the rest of the story. It wasn't a lamb that was caught in a thicket. It was a ram. Because you see, Abraham was not talking about the sacrifice that was going to be offered that day. He was talking about the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, that was going to be offered thousands of years later, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Abraham built an altar. He put the wood on it. The Bible says he bound Isaac and laid him on the altar. He took the knife in his hand, and the Bible says he outstretched his hand, ready to slay his son. And an angel called to him from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm. Don't kill Isaac. Don't kill Isaac. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withhold thy son, thine only son, from me. And again, going back to that verse in Hebrews, it says, by faith Abraham offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And so we do count Abraham as the father of the faithful. He's our example. He's an example of what of the kind of faith that we should have in our life. And we all need to have it. We all need to have that kind of faith that Abraham has. That faith that took him to that mountain in Moriah and said, "Lord, here's the dearest thing that I have. If you want it, it's yours. Here's the thing I love the most. Here's the thing I cherish. I cherish it because, not just because it's my son, but I cherish it because it's the child of promise. It's a child that you promised that was going to be used through him to bless the whole earth. But if you want him, I'll give him to you. Because I have enough faith that even if I kill him, you can raise him up from the dead." Now, we all need to have that faith. And let me tell you why. We need to have that kind of faith because that kind of faith brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. You see, in the book of James, just follow me just for a second. In the book of James, it tells us that faith without works is dead. And so our faith will lead to works. I mean, every example that we have in Hebrews chapter 11, they were people of faith, but they had a work that they did. They did something to put feet to their faith, so to speak. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," those works that come out of your faith, "and glorify your Father in heaven." And so why do we need the faith of Abraham? So that we can work and do good works, and so that others can see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Now, and here's what that means. You heard the story about two little boys. They were comparing their dads, and they were bragging on their dads. And, you know, "My dad has this. Well, my dad has this. Well, my dad has this. Well, my dad can do this, but my dad can do this. Oh, yeah, but my dad can do this." And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have faith with works so that we and others can say, "Boy, look at what God did. Isn't he such a good God? There's nothing impossible for him. His hand is not shortened. His ear is not deaf. He can do what man thinks is impossible." I know you say tonight, "Boy, I wish I had the faith of Abraham." But I don't. And there's no way I can get it. And I would say to you tonight, yes, you can. Abraham's was a journey of faith. One day God didn't come to him and say, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to take your only son Isaac and I want you to offer him for a sacrifice." God didn't start with that with Abraham. It was a journey that led him to that point where he was willing to offer the dearest thing he had, Isaac. Let me just talk to you a little bit about that journey tonight. God told Abraham, "I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go to a place. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but just head in this direction, and when you get there, I'll tell you when to stop." So that was the next step of faith, going back to this morning, that God wanted Abraham to take. "I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave your family. I want you to move to a different place." Well, Abraham packed up to leave, and he headed in the direction that God wanted him to go, but he took his dad and he took his nephew with him. I mean, he left the place where he was living and he headed in the direction that God wanted him to go, but he didn't leave his family. His dad and his nephew went with him. And by the way, when they got to Haran, which was about halfway between Ur of the Chaldees and the land of Canaan where God was leading them, they stopped. And so that first step of faith that Abraham was to take, he sort of took it halfway. He didn't get to where God wanted him to go, nor did he leave his family, because daddy and his nephew Lot was with him. So his dad dies, and Abraham takes Lot, and they move from Haran, and they finish the journey. They come to the land of Canaan, where God wanted him to go in the first place. But he's in the place that God wants him to be, but he's still not in the condition that God wants him to be, because he's still got some of his family around him. A famine comes. And if, instead of staying where God led him to be, where God wanted him to be, instead of trusting God to take care of him in that famine, hey, you would think, man, the father of the faithful, this one that we look to as our example, he would stay put. He would stay exactly where God finally got him, and he would trust God to take care of him. But Abraham said, no, I don't think God can take care of me. I'm going to Egypt. And so he leaves the land of Canaan, and he goes to Egypt. And he gets down there, and Pharaoh sees Sarah. She must have been a very beautiful woman, because we're going to talk about it a couple times. Pharaoh takes Sarah, and because God is protecting Sarah, he sends plagues to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gives her back and says, go, get out of here. I want you to get out of Egypt. And so they leave Egypt. And well, by the way, they pick up a little servant girl for Sarah while they're there, named Hagar. And so they leave Egypt and go back to the land of Canaan. And they go back to where God wanted them to be, but he's still not in the condition that God wants them in because Lot's still with them. So they get back, and the herdmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham start to argue. The land, the Bible says, is not able to contain all their flocks. And so they start arguing over the grass. Who's going to be the best, get the best grass? And so Abraham comes to his nephew Lot and says, hey, look, our servants shouldn't argue with one another, and we're brethren. We're setting a bad example for all these people. We're family. We should not argue. So they split up. Lot takes the well-watered plains of Sodom, and Abraham goes in the other direction. And finally, God gets Abraham where he wants him to be, how he wants him to be. All his family's gone, and he's in the land of Canaan. Now I'm going to read a couple verses from Genesis chapter 13. Here's what the Bible says. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. Key phrase, after that Lot was separated from him. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Now notice, God didn't come back and repeat his promise to Abraham about blessing him with multitudes of descendants, about giving him the land, until he got to the place and the condition that God told him to go to and be in the first place. Away from home, away from his family. He's on a journey of faith. What happens next? Lot's carried off captive. There's four kings that join, Lot's living in Sodom at this time. There's four kings that get together and they take captive the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in an act of faith, an act of trusting God, Abraham arms his 318 servants, and they go after this army that far outnumbers them, and they beat them. Because they trusted God. Because he had faith in God. He rescues Lot. He brings him back to Sodom. So, you say, well, he's making progress. He's trusting God. He's getting there. What happens next? Well, Sarah realizes they're getting old. They have no baby. Sarah says, I got to help God. We can't be the father. My husband Abraham can't be the father of thousands and thousands of descendants if he don't have one. So she says to Abraham, hey, you know that little servant girl that we picked up in Egypt, Hagar? Why don't you go into her and God will give us a baby by her. And in an act of faithlessness, the father of the faithful did what his wife said. Went into this little servant girl, and by the way, it wasn't God's will. It wasn't part of God's plan. And they had a little baby, and you know his name was Ishmael. God comes, tells Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. I've heard about the sin. I'm come down to see if it's true. and I'm going to destroy Sodom. Lot's living there. And so in an act of faith, Abraham stands before God and said, God, you're righteous. You're going to do what's right. You won't kill good people with all the bad people in Sodom, will you? What if there's 50 good people in Sodom? And this is an act of faith because Abraham is praying to God. He's bargaining with God because he knows God is going to do what he says he'll do. What if there's 50 righteous people? God says, okay, if I find 50 righteous people, I'll spare the city. Well, Abraham says, what if there's only 45? And God said, okay, if there's only 45, I'll spare. What if it's only 40? Okay, if there's 40, I won't. How about 30? Oh, I won't destroy it for 30. What about 20? Okay, I won't destroy it for 20. What about 10? Abraham says, this is the last thing I asked for. What if there's only 10? And God said, okay, if there's 10, I'll spare the city. Well, when the angels came, they only found 3. They pulled 4 people out of the city, Lot, his wife, and 2 of his daughters. His wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. So there were 3 righteous people. God destroyed the city of Sodom, but in the answer to Abraham's prayer of faith, he saved Lot and his 2 daughters. He's making progress. He has faith in God that God will answer prayer. What happens next? He goes to a south country, dwells in Gerar. Abimelech is the king of Gerar, and he's interested in Sarah. She must be in her 80s by now. And Abraham, in a lack of faith, tells the king, she's my sister. Now, she was a sister. Had the same father, if I remember right. Right, Reg? Had the same father, different mother? Yeah, okay, thanks. Same father, different mother. So she was a sister, sort of. But instead of telling King Abimelech, well, she's my wife, he said, well, she's my sister. So the king takes her, and God comes to the king that night in a dream and says, you're a dead man. You took a man's wife. Now, the Bible says he hadn't come near her, and he goes in his dream, he talks to God and says, will you kill us, a righteous man? He told me she was his sister. And God said, I know, you did it in the integrity of your heart. Give her back to him, and he'll pray for you because he's a prophet. And Abraham did. So Abraham and Sarah went back home. Isaac is conceived and born. And then God comes to Abraham and says, hey, I want you to go sacrifice him. I want you to take him to that mountain. I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. And Abraham goes and he takes his son. He's ready to kill him when God stops him. Now, again, I would tell you, Abraham is an example of the kind of faith that we have, or should have. But he's also an encouragement. Because, as you can see, there was a lot of stops and starts on his journey of faith. In fact, I want to make 6 points tonight. That was my introduction. Now I'm getting to my sermon. I got 6 points. Don't worry, I know it's 10. I know it's 13 minutes till 7. I know we got a business meeting after. Just I'm going to be done right on time. 6 points. Number 1, our journey of faith starts by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. First step, you're here tonight, you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. For you to start this journey of faith, you got to understand that you're a sinner. You got to understand that there's a penalty for sin, and that sin is separation from God. You need to know that Jesus Christ came to earth. He lived a perfect life for 33 years, not one sin. He was taken and nailed to a cross, and when he was nailed to that cross, God laid upon him every one of our sins, and Jesus paid for our sins. And if we'll receive him, if we'll trust him, he'll save us from the penalty of sin. He'll save us from hell. He'll save us from separation of God, from God. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's the first step in your journey of faith, is to trust him as your Savior. Point number 2, the journey of faith is not a straight upward climb. It's a series of stops and starts, a series of 2 steps forward and 1 step back, a series of steps that God puts in front of us that says, prove me, try me, and see if you can't trust me and have your faith grow as you prove and try me. Abraham's, again, is our example, and he's an encouragement to us because his faith was not a straight upward climb. I mean, he took two steps forward, and then he took a step backward. I mean, it took God a long time just to get him where he wanted him to be in the condition that he wanted him in. And it's the same thing for us. I mean, our journey of faith in most cases is not a straight upward climb. There's starts and stops. There's two steps forward and one step back. And so if you're at that point in your life and you know the next step that God wants you to take to increase your faith and you haven't taken it, in fact, maybe you've sort of stepped backwards a little bit, don't be discouraged. Because the father of the faithful, Abraham, did the same thing. He'd take a good step, and then he'd doubt God and take a half step backward. He'd take a couple steps forward and trusted God, and then he'd turn to the right or turn to the left and mess up. Point number three, in our journey of faith, God doesn't give up on us. And I'm so glad he doesn't. I'm so glad when we fail to take the next step, he says, hey, I'm done with that guy. I'm going to turn my attention to somebody else. No, he comes back and he gives us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance and however many chances we need, he comes back and he keeps giving us opportunities to take that next step that's going to cause us to trust him more. Now look, God wants us to move up. He wants us to trust him more. He wants us to have more faith. So he keeps giving us opportunities to take the next step. He keeps giving us opportunities to trust him. He keeps giving us opportunities to prove him over and over and over again. So we failed. We failed to take the next step. We failed to move forward when we felt that God was leading us to move forward. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. There'll be another chance. It'll come quicker than you think. Get ready to take the next one. Point number four. The next step in our journey of faith is not a giant step. It's a little step that God knows that we can handle. God didn't take Abraham and said, hey, I want you to leave home. And he finally got him to leave home and then say, okay, I want you to offer your only son Isaac as a sacrifice. That would have been a giant step for Abraham. That would have been a step that he couldn't have handled. So he says, hey, Abraham, I want you to take a little step. I want you to leave home. I want you to take another little step. I want you to leave your family. I want you to take another little step. I want you to stay put. I want you to trust me when famine comes. I want you to stay put. I want you to take another little step. Go ahead and rescue your nephew. Take your 318 armed servants and go after a big an army and prove me if I'm not able to help you. Hey, take another small step. I want you to wait on me. Don't get ahead of me. I know you're getting old, but hey, I can do the impossible. I can make things happen that man can't. Don't get in a hurry. Just wait on me. Oh, and by the way, I want you to take another little step. I want you to take your son. I want you to offer him for a sacrifice. And God operates the same way with us. Go ahead. The next step of faith he wants you to take is not going from A all the way to Z. He knows you can't handle that. He knows I can't handle that. So he says, hey, take the next step, A to B. Okay, I can do that. Take the next step, B to C. Okay, I can do that. Hey, you did good. Why don't you go from C to E? Oh, I can do that. He never says, hey, go from A to M, or go from M to Z, or go ahead and take the whole chunk in one bite, A to Z. No, it's little steps that he knows that we can handle. Point number five, our journey of faith will reach its pinnacle, will reach its highest point when we're willing to give to God everything. Here's Isaac. The dearest thing that Abraham has. The child of promise. The child of blessing. God, you want him? I'll give him to you. You want me to offer him as a sacrifice? You go back and you read in the chapter where God, you do not find one argument from Abraham. Not one argument. He says he gets up the next morning, early the next morning, and starts toward where God wants him to go. And what he was saying, hey, here's the dearest thing that I have. I'm giving to you because I trust you. Even if I kill him, you can raise him from the dead. You can raise him from the dead. Let me ask you tonight, don't answer out loud, but just think in your hearts and in your minds, what's the dearest thing that you have? The dearest thing that you have in your life. Is it your spouse? A child? A grandchild? The thing that you love the most. The thing that you treasure the most. The thing that if you lost, it would hurt the most. When we get to the point in our life where we say, God, that thing that I love the most, that thing that I treasure the most, that thing that would hurt the most if I lost it, it's yours. It's yours. If you want it, if me giving it to you will draw me closer to you and cause me to trust you more, it's yours. I'll give it to you. And when we reach that point in our journey of faith, we're at that pinnacle that God wants us to be. Point number 6. People are watching your journey of faith and are encouraged by your example and are giving God the glory. You know what one of the sweet things about being a pastor is? You get to see people on their journey of faith. And it's been a joy to my heart over the years to see people get saved and then start taking those steps of faith. I've seen people, and I'll just use this as an analogy. They get saved, and God says, hey, I want you to take the next step. And, you know, they sort of stick their toe in the water and say, I don't know. But they trust God, and they take that next step, and the water sort of comes up to their ankles. And God says, okay, I want you to take the next step. I want you to trust me. Here's what I want you to do. It's going to take more faith than you had before, but you can trust me. I'm able. And so they sort of take the next step, and they say, oh, man, I don't know if I can handle this. And so they sort of take a step backwards and say, I'm not ready for that yet. And God comes back to them and says, hey, you can trust me. We can do this together. And so they take that next step down, and the water sort of comes up to their knees. And they said, well, God's right. He can handle this. He is able. God says, okay, now I want you to take the next step. And we look at it and say, oh, boy, I don't know. God's been good so far. So they take the next step, and the water sort of comes up to their waist. And they say, he is able. He can do it. And God says, okay, you ready for the next one? Let's take the next one. So they take the next step, and in my analogy, the water sort of comes up to their chest, and they're standing there, and they're looking around. And by the way, there's people looking at them. They're encouraged by what they see. They're giving God the glory. And God says, okay, we're going to take the next step. Say, well, yeah, God, I take the next step. If the same thing happens, I'm going to be in over my head. I ain't going to be able to touch the bottom. And God says, that's exactly where I want you. I want to get you to the point where you can't touch the bottom, because when you can't touch the bottom, you got to depend on me. You got to trust me. And so we take that next step, and we're in over our heads. You know, some of you are in over your heads tonight. You're in over your heads. You can't handle being where you are by yourself. You can't. If you try, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. If you try, you're going to fall to pieces. If you try, you're going to fall apart. You are in over your head. There's nothing you can do to keep your head above water. But that's exactly where God wants you to be. Because when you get over your head, you got to trust Him. You got to cling to Him. You got to hang on to Him. That's what that verse means in Hebrews. We read it this morning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what pleases God? When we have to hang on to Him because we're in over our heads. When we have to cling to Him because there's no way we can keep our heads above the water. That's what pleases Him. And that's where He wants to get us all. And so in our journey of faith, He's going to keep putting things in front of us. And then, hey, go ahead and take that next small step and take the next small step. And the water's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And pretty soon, we're going to be in over our heads. And God says, hey, you're exactly where I want you to be. You're exactly where I want you to be. Because you got to trust me. What's your next step of faith? It's a small one. You can handle it if you trust God. Go ahead and take it. Take it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the instruction that we get from this book, for the encouragement.